Welcome back to Trivial Warfare. This is episode 7. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with my friend Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Jonathan. How you holding up today, sir?
Man, I'm having a good day. I'm glad you're here.
Outstanding. So am I. I'm ready to get some trivia on. How about you?
I am. I had something interesting happen to me this week.
Oh, did you know?
I did. I haven't told you this yet.
Okay, excellent.
So, I went to one of my guilty pleasures on Friday for dinner.
Oh, okay. Thank God you said dinner.
I went over to a Crystal's restaurant and went to the drive-thru.
Oh, gut busters. Yummy.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I get my normal whatever it is I get, and I pull up to the drive-thru, and they hand me a bag of food, but it's not the food that I ordered.
Ah.
So, I pulled it back up and say, hey, guys, this isn't mine. And the three people who were in the window area kind of looked around at each other, and they were like, well, that must be the car in front of you. They didn't take their food. Well, they're gone. What do we do?
Wow.
And so one of the guys in the back just looks around kind of suspicious-like, and he's like, hey, if it's me, I say you just take it. And I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, well, that would be neat, but I don't really care, don't really want it. And then
it could be the Crystal fish sandwiches for all you know.
So the guy at the register says, we got to tell the manager. And so they get the manager to come up, and the manager starts playing around, and then my food comes up. And the guy, out of the blue, I'm not paying much attention. All of a sudden, the guy shoves me my food while I still have the other food in my car. He hadn't taken it back. He shoves me my food and hangs out the window and says, just take it. Go. Go. And whispers that to me, right?
Oh, my God.
So I drive
go,
off.
Go! Go!
So I drive off. They never had me pay.
Are you? So you, not only
he just told me to go, so I went.
Oh, my gosh. So you didn't just get one free meal. You got two free meals.
I got two free
my gosh.
Meals.
I hope they didn't, like, steal your license plate or anything.
What am I going to do? He told me to drive. I didn't even think about it until I was driving away.
Wow.
That was too funny, man. It was like this conspiratorial, just get out of here.
Wow. I just don't know what to say except for, let's get some trivia on, kids.
All right. So this is the way the game works. Chris and I go back and forth, head to head. We're going to have 10 questions each. Each question will be worth somewhere around 10 points, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. We each get to determine our own rules as we go. And at the end of the game, we're going to have a final question. At that time, we can wager any or all of the points we've accumulated up to that point and determine who's the winner at the end by who has the most points. So very simple. Is there anything else that we need to go over before we start? I think you have something to say, Mr. Hollister.
Yeah, I have a couple things. First off, some of my questions tonight are actually going to be coming from the Trivial Pursuit 25th Anniversary Edition.
Oh, I like that edition.
And yeah, a lot of fun.
Haven't memorized that one yet.
Thank God. And then also, on a serious note, I just wanted to dedicate today's game to one of the smartest men I know, my Uncle Don, and just please know I'm thinking about the Capra family today. I say let's get some trivia going.
All right, well, let's get rolling then.
How about I start off this episode right now?
Oh, you want to start?
Oh, bring it.
You're the one.
Oh, it already brought it. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start. So your first question is American history.
American history.
All right. In what state did the American Revolution begin in?
Oh, you know, it's funny. It's a technical question, I guess. Do you mean the first battle?
I meant from the ground response starting the American Revolution. In other words, the state itself that got all the states rolling with potentially...
Okay. I'm not sure. I know that there's a ton... If you asked me which state and which city had the most patriots that I associate with the American Revolution, I'm going to say Boston, Massachusetts. May not be exactly right. I don't think Lexington or Concord is in Boston or is in Massachusetts. But I'd still go with Massachusetts.
And that's absolutely correct.
Yes!
So, I mean, and this is actually something kind of interesting, was in the 1765 to 1768, they were sending letters to the various other states like Virginia and South Carolina and what have you, and trying to convince them that it's time to get rid of their English oppressors. For lack
really?
Of
they were
term.
Like yes. sending propaganda?
Yeah, for lack of a better term, absolutely. I honestly thought of the start of the American Revolution as being the Boston Tea Party, and where that was a big portion of it, it really started with the campaigning to become independent from England.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. Your first question is a sports question about coaches.
Okay.
And it is a basketball question.
That's the one that you dribble a lot, right? Yeah. But there's no water on the court, yet you dribble. What the heck? Discuss.
Thanks, Romy. Who was the head coach of the Seattle Supersonics when they made it to the NBA Finals in 1996, where the team including Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, and Detlef Schrempf lost to the Chicago Bulls in six games?
See, every time I hear the name Detlef Schrempf, I hear Dan Patrick in the in my head going, Detlef Schrempf! As he did on SportsCenter so much. And
Schrempf!
Exactly, yeah. Anyway, the answer is George Karl, who just got hired by the Sacramento Kings.
George Karl is absolutely right. Look at you. You know some NBA coaching. I like that.
Yeah, I know a little bit, especially in the 1990s, because yeah. I had a lot of friends that, I mean, were watching the Bulls like crazy. And so I was watching, and at that point in time, I was kind of snooty up against Michael Jordan and saying that the real number 23 in Chicago was Ryan Sandberg, who played for the Cubs,
oh,
and
God.
Not Michael Jordan. And yeah, I'm a moron. I'm not going to disagree. So, after round one, we're at 10-10. We both answered our first question. So, hey, hoopah!
Hey, yo!
All right, your round two question, Jonathan, is currency.
Oh, it's about money, 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 money!
No, it's not about money. It's not about bad singing. It's about money. Yeah, I went there. Okay, what crazy nickname is given to the Canadian dollar coin due to the bird that's pictured on it?
Oh, Canadian dollar coin, the crazy bird.
I'll give you a hint. It's not Big Bird.
You know, that's where my mind was going. I was heading that way. Oh, you gave me a clue in the question. The only crazy bird I can think of is a loon. So is it a loon? A loony?
A loony.
A loony, yes! Yes!
Wow, and that loud response was Jonathan banging into his microphone because he's so excited. And that question is also dedicated to our friend Carrie Looney. So, anyway.
Who may or may not be listening.
That's true. And if you're not, why are you not listening? This is a great podcast.
Exactly. Somebody go tap her on the shoulder.
Exactly. So, Looney is correct.
Oh, man, I'm excited. That was great. That was fantastic. Okay, your second question is, the category is old cities, new cities. Okay.
Istanbul is Constantinople.
Well, we'll see. Mm. What modern city was known as Byzantium from 660 BC to 330 AD?
Man, if the answer to this question is Istanbul, I'm going to be so mad. But I'm not answering Istanbul because I like to quote the Might Be Giants song, even though if it is that answer, I'm really going to kick myself like hard. But I want to say it was Rome.
Okay. Byzantium was the first name for the city when it belonged to the Byzantine Empire. Later on, after it was conquered by the Holy Roman Empire, it became Constantinople. And then after that, it became Istanbul. And it went back and forth a couple of times, I think. But now it is Istanbul, not Constantinople, and not Byzantium. What do you have to say about that, Mr. Hollister?
I feel like I just got kicked in the nether region.
When you said Istanbul or Constantinople before I asked the question, my heart sank because I was like, oh man, he's going to get it right even before I ask. But then I looked at the question and remembered, wait, I didn't ask about Constantinople. I went with the original name of the city.
Oh, I just want to puke in that box that's right next to me right now.
So what's the score now?
Oh, yeah, you're really excited about it, aren't you? Okay, after two rounds, Jonathan is up 20-10, even though it should be all even, but we won't go there right now.
Should be, if you had gotten it right.
Okay, your third round category is presidents.
Okay.
Who was the first U.S. president to hold a televised news conference?
Televised. Okay. I know that FDR used to do a lot of radio shows, fireside chats, he would call them. I know that we had the debates. Kennedy and Nixon were on TV for the debates, so it had to be before them. I don't know for sure, but it's in the right time period. I'm going to go with Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Okay.
It might be Truman, though.
Okay. Is that...
No, I'm going with Eisenhower.
Okay, you're sticking with Eisenhower? Yeah. Okay. So the first televised debates was Kennedy and Nixon.
Yeah.
The first televised news conference was John F. Kennedy on January 25th, 1961.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they were televising the debates before the president ever spoke on television?
Well, really, they televised that debate. That was like one of the very first presidential things that was done on there.
Wow.
And then if you notice, it was 1961, so it was very shortly after the election, in the 1960 election, that they actually had the first news conference, probably because Kennedy knew how well he did. Now, mind you, this is an assumption. This is not fact. But one of the reasons why they said that Kennedy won the election was because people liked the look of him so much better than Nixon. Kennedy was a good-looking man, so he knew the more that he was on TV, the better his politics were going to be. Plus, he was so charismatic.
You know, I've seen a lot of pictures of Kennedy. I don't know where the whole good-looking thing comes from.
You're kidding.
I really don't think he's a good-looking guy.
You are a dude.
Yeah, and you said Kennedy's a good-looking man. I'm like, whoa, hey, brother. Question three for you is about actors and actresses.
Acting, brilliant.
Brilliant. A Saturday Night Live bit.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I've heard you do it 1,000 times.
Yeah, it's John Lovitz. Yeah, John Lovitz and John Lithgow.
Okay. What actress reprised her role as Cruella de Vil in the 2000 movie sequel, 102 Dalmatians?
The answer is Glenn Close.
Ooh. I'm sorry. The answer is Glenn Close.
Yes, which is exactly what I said.
Aw, darn.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid, I didn't really pay much attention. If you take the space out of her last name, you know what you get?
It's Devil. Devil. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right, yeah.
Cruella Devil.
Devil, yeah.
I had never paid attention to that, but after I saw how it was spelled, I was like, oh my God, it's basically Cruella Devil.
Yeah, she's a cruel devil. All right, so after three rounds, Jonathan, you and I are both tied now 20-20. Here's your round four question. It is on history and literature.
Okay.
Whose essay, Civil Disobedience, did Gandhi carry with him during his prison stays?
Civil Disobedience. It's one of two guys, unless I'm way out in left field, right? It's either Ralph Waldo Emerson or Henry David Thoreau. And they were both naturalists who had some interesting ideas. I'm going to go with Henry David Thoreau.
Man. Wow, you were so close, because it was Henry David Thoreau.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Of course it was.
Nice job, man.
Yeah. Your round four question, very simply, the category is, where are they from?
Okay.
The question, what nationality is the famous philosopher Confucius?
Okay, I almost want to say this is a trick question. This is Istanbul all over again, because I would think that this is a slam dunk that he's Chinese, but I'm a little fearful because Istanbul threw me off. Now, why am I sounding like Owen Wilson now? I just don't know. Anyway, now I got to go with the most obvious answer. I got to say he was Chinese.
Now, it's interesting that you think it's obvious that he's Chinese. I mean, it ends in U.S. A lot of Latin, like Justus and Justinius and those guys, a lot of Romans end in U.S. Why do you think it's obvious that it's Chinese?
Well, besides the fact that you see a lot of his sayings and like fortune cookies and stuff
like that. Oh, is that you got your answer from fortune cookies?
No, I didn't get it from fortune cookies, but I also know a little bit about history. I'm not completely dumb.
Well, guess what?
I'm only partially dumb.
Confucius say, you are correct.
Yeah.
Good job.
Chest bump.
By yourself?
Exactly.
Yeah, more like a King Kong bump.
King Kong Bundy bump.
That's like a baby bump on King Kong Bundy.
Okay, going into the fifth round, we're both up 30-30.
Oh, okay. Tight game so far.
Yeah, absolutely. So your next category is colleges.
Colleges, got it.
Okay. What city was the first American college located in?
Ooh. Oh, boy. The first American college. I have to wonder if it's Harvard. I don't think so. I feel like the first college is William & Mary, but I don't know where it is, so it doesn't matter. We've already had a Massachusetts question. I don't think the answer is going to be Boston, but I'm going to say Boston.
Cambridge, Massachusetts. Here's the interesting thing.
Harvard
University, which was founded in 1636.
It was Harvard is in Cambridge.
Yes, Cambridge.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing. As of June 2014, Harvard University's endowment was $36.4 billion. Billion.
So you're saying they're well endowed.
Oh, wow. I so walked into that one. I really did.
Okay. Your round five question?
Yes.
It's a Shakespeare question.
Okay, Shakespeare.
To be or not to be right? That is the question.
R.
Was brought to you by the letter R.
R.
What were the surnames of Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, man. I would love to be able to quote the line because they actually did it. Fair Montague and Capulet, but I can't remember the line, so I'm just going to say Montague and Capulet.
Man, you knew that. I'm impressed. Yeah. You got it right.
Well, I mean, when I was a kid, I was sick all the time. I had really bad ear infections and stuff that led me home. So I read some of Shakespeare's plays at a ridiculously early age.
Oh.
Yeah, and actually...
Is that what you had laying around the house?
Well, I mean, it's just Mom and Dad were really wanting to make me actually maybe smart. And that failed miserably, but I knew stuff in Trivia Land now.
Well, that's good.
So, yeah.
You know, interesting, Montagues and Capulets.
Montague?
What brought me to this question is actually I'm a big fan of a classical music work by Prokofiev called The Montagues and Capulets.
Hmm.
And it's this really powerful, dun da dun da dun da dun da dun da dun da dun dun, you know?
Sure.
So I did a little research on it. It turns out a lot of bands use that as their, like, walk-in music. As the crowd's getting ready and they want to amp people up, they throw that on, this classical music, to get people hyped up, basically, for them to make their intro.
I want to hear the song now, man.
You know what? I can insert it into this podcast. People who use it, The Smiths, Muse, Iron Maiden, Tears for Fears, and Deep Purple have all used it as walk-on music.
Okay, for some reason I could so see Deep Purple doing it, but Iron Maiden? Wow. And that then, of course, makes me think of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Bring out the Iron Maiden. Excellent!
Kill them! Bogus!
That's right. I forgot the second part of it. That's great. So we are now at 40-30 after six rounds.
Oh, you're winning.
Or excuse me, after five rounds. Yes, I've only missed one question so far.
And these haven't been the easiest of questions.
I know, a little scary.
Mm.
Sold my soul to science and got a brain. All right.
All right, Scarecrow.
Yes, thank you. So your six round question, Jonathan.
Yes.
Is literature. What book follows the adventures of Phileas Fogg?
Is it Phileas, not Phineas?
There's not an N in there.
Okay, it's
and
Phileas.
So I'm going to say Phileas, but...
No, my understanding of it has been wrong for years, apparently. Off the gut, I mean, I've never read it, and I don't know for sure, but it sounds like Around the World in 80 Days, so that's what I'm going with.
Correct,
yeah.
Good sir. Well done, man.
Man, that's one of those things where it's like, I don't know how I know, but there it is.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're not supposed to be cheering for each other when we get one right, but it's just...
Hey, when somebody does something smart, it's...
That's right. And when you get something wrong, then it's like... All right. So what's my round six question?
It's a TV question.
Excellent.
It's about cartoons. I want you to name the cartoon cat that hated those Mises to pieces.
Wow. It's so familiar sounding, but it's like...
I hate you Mises to pieces!
Because, like, at first blush, I want to say Sylvester the Cat, but that feffering thuck-a-tat, I mean, that's not...
Yeah, and he wasn't chasing mice, either.
And it can't be Tom, because Tom didn't talk. You know, he did have one meese, also known as mouse.
This one was specifically known because he called them meeses.
Mm. Wow. All right, I mean, I'm throwing this out there, but I really am fully expecting to get a goose egg on this question and say it's Heathcliff.
That is incorrect,
yeah,
my friend.
Yeah, I figure that.
His name is Jinx.
I've never heard of Jinx.
You've never heard of Jinx?
Mm-mm, no.
Never heard of Pixie and Dixie?
No, nothing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, nothing.
It's interesting when you find a gap like that.
Yeah, interesting. Huh. So, okay. So, we're all tied up again, man. We're up at 40-40 going into round seven.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, you have a sports question.
Oh, I love sports questions.
All right, well, we'll see after this one. What is an albatross in golf scoring? The albatross around.
Okay, so we know that a birdie is minus one and an eagle is minus two. So the hard part of this is Is an albatross good or bad? Because -3 could be an albatross, but that would indicate something good. An albatross is really like Old Man in the Sea. It's not something good. It's something bad. So if we go in the bad direction, you have a bogey, and you have a double bogey, and you have, I think you have a triple bogey for +3. I'm going to go with a +5.
Okay. Well, you have all the bogeys right, and then you have birdie, and then eagle, and then I thought it was a double eagle, but it's actually an albatross.
Is it really an albatross? Is a good thing?
It's 3 under. That's right.
Darn! I thought it would be bad. Darn it. I got all the way there and then went in the other direction.
That's right, Jonathan. You were breaking bad on that one.
Oh, that's so bad. That's so weak. Okay. Question 7 for you is about the human body.
Oh, great. I have one. Correct! Woohoo! 10 points!
I'm glad you only have one. Which hormone regulates the level of sugar in the blood?
So you're asking me questions today that I really am like second guessing because it's like, really? I think that's kind of easy. But
I mean, it's not easy. A lot of people don't know the answer to this.
Again, Istanbul. I mean, it's just...
Istanbul is wrong.
Okay, so my answer is insulin.
Insulin is correct.
Yeah, boom. Goes to dynamite.
You think that's easy?
Really kind of do, actually.
Anybody who doesn't know someone with diabetes may not find it so easy.
Diabetes.
Diabetes.
Thank you, Wilford Brimley.
That is the funniest meme ever. Now, I'm glad you got that right, because our friend Waco would have been upset with you if you missed it.
Yeah, he may have actually punched me.
Oh, I really wish you'd have missed it. That would have been awesome.
Okay, so after that round, it's 50-40, and we're going into round 8.
Round 8, okay.
All right, you have a movies question.
Movies?
What scary movie held the all-time box office record until Star Wars came along?
I know that The Exorcist was huge in terms of people like freaking out and running out of the theater. And I think that was in either 1961 or 1971, but that would have been enough time, especially if it was 61. So I'm going to go with The Exorcist.
Man, I am terribly sorry to say this. Jaws.
Oh!
Jaws.
Oh!
Jaws raised $260 million until Star Wars raised $307 million.
Man, that's so obvious, too. Spot. Jaws is a lot scarier than The Exorcist to me.
Well, and here's something really interesting, too. Steven Spielberg actually held the number one spot of money all time twice. First with Jaws, and then later on with E.T.,
I'm really upset that I missed that. I really should have got that. That's Jaws is the first major blockbuster, summer blockbuster ever.
Oh, absolutely.
I knew that. So shame on me. You're taking a lead here. Your question is question 8.
Okay.
It's a Beatles question.
Oh, Beatles.
The End was the last song recorded collectively by all 4 of the Beatles. On which 1969 album did the song first appear?
Well, one thing is as much as I respect the Beatles and what they've done, I mean, I don't really listen to too much of the Beatles music. Probably should. And also, anytime I hear the words The End or song The End, I think it's The Doors. I think it's Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band, and I'm going to answer that even though I think it's probably wrong, but that's the final answer.
It is wrong.
Okay.
I thought that was their last album, too.
Okay.
I was wrong. Abbey Road.
No kidding.
1969, Abbey Road was their final album together.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, no.
Sgt. Pepper's was released in 67.
Okay.
And the White Album was released in 68.
And I almost answered the White Album, but right? I thought the White Album was before Sgt. Pepper's, obviously.
The Beatles' last studio album was 1970's Let It Be. But this was the last song they recorded all together at the same time.
No kidding. So they did Let It Be separately, basically?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's interesting. So they hated each other that much that they had to record everything separately. And amazing. Just amazing.
Hey, people do weird things when the money's on the line.
Okay.
I think we're tied again, aren't we?
No, it's 50-40. I'm up by 10.
Okay, 50-40. We're going in around 9.
So here we go. Geography. What nickname is attached to the circle of volcanoes around the Pacific Basin?
Ooh. So this is one of those things where I have a term like floating around in my head, but I don't know if it's right or not.
Sure.
I'm going with the Ring of Fire.
Dun, 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 you are right.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 you are right. Yep, Ring of Fire. And also, Jonathan, that leads us to probably my favorite trivia question of all time. And do you remember what that question
is? I remember what it is. I'm so excited.
Okay. The Johnny Cash family turned down Preparation H for use of what song? So Jonathan and I look at each other and we just start laughing like crazy. It's like, are you kidding?
Like
this... Is there really any other way?
Is Preparation H really wanting to use Ring of Fire for hemorrhoid cream?
It was outstanding. We're giggling, laughing. I mean, like busting a gut laughing as we're writing the answer down and we're turning it in. And it's like, and I looked at him and I was like, this is my favorite trivia question ever.
How did that not happen? That would have been amazing. Can you imagine the commercials? Oh, it would have been great.
Yeah. Oh, man. You just see this poor guy, like, standing in the bathroom, and you know, he's, I fell into a burning ring of fire. And, yes, if you want to know why I asked that question, it's just so that we could tell that story. Jokes, people. We got jokes. I figured he'd get it right, but I didn't care because I wanted to tell that story.
Your question 9. Last round was the Beatles. It could have been a music, right?
Right.
The name of this category is More Music.
Oh, goody.
Yep. As of 2014, Michelle Phillips is the last surviving original member of which 1960s pop music quartet?
Okay, I was really afraid that this was going to be something like that was going to be hurting me pretty bad. But
this isn't an easy question.
Thank God. Well... But you also got to remember, I'm coming from a family that Friday nights, music was a big part of it. And the mamas and the papas was a big part of it. So the answer, my friends, is the mamas and the papas.
The mamas and the papas is correct.
Yes.
I'll give you 2 bonus points.
Ooh.
And this is off the cuff. I'll give you 2 bonus points for each of the other members of the mamas and papas you can name.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I can't do that.
Can't even get one?
Oh, Mama Cass.
Mama Cass, yeah. Yes. You gotta get that.
That's the mamas. I just can't remember any of the papas. It's like John Phillips, I think, maybe was one.
That's another one. You got it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's one more.
I know. I can't, and I really can't remember that guy's name.
Yeah, you really can't. His name's Denny Doherty.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, you got 4 bonus points.
Boom. Goes the dynamite.
Yeah, I'm impressed. That was a good answer there. All right, so you got 14 points on that.
All right, now it's round 10, and because he was asking music, I now have to ask a music question. Your music question, sir, is what famous guitarist pioneered the solid body electric guitar with the Gibson Guitar Company?
There's the Fender Stratocaster, and there's the Gibson Les Paul. I'm going with Les Paul.
Correct, sir.
Yes! Okay, your 10th question and last question before the final round here is a history question.
Okay.
Who did Jack Ruby kill in 1963?
I love this episode of Quantum Leap.
That was unexpected. But I remember, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, that would be Lee Harvey Oswald.
You are correct. You are absolutely correct. Oswald, for anybody who doesn't know, obviously was the killer of JFK. Ruby was a nightclub operator, and many people think he had ties to organized crime. Nobody really knows for sure, but it's a conspiracy theory that's out there.
Very interesting. All right.
So we're going into our final here.
So final round question, man.
Wow, this has gone quickly.
I know. It feels like we just started.
What are the scores?
Okay. Going into the final round, Jonathan, you have 60 points.
Okay.
Why, I have 74 points, thanks to that lovely bonus that you gave me earlier. So,
okay. What categories?
All right. So, Jonathan, your category is first for sports. First for sports.
So, first things that happen in... Okay.
Yes. I'm going to give you... Basically, I'm going to give you four sports-related items. You're going to put them in order from the first one that happened to the most recent one that happened.
And your category is going to be... The human body.
Bollocks. Okay.
Okay.
So, Jonathan, I'm going to give you 4 sports events that happen, and you're going to name them in order from the furthest that happened to the most recent.
Furthest to most recent.
That's right. Hopefully that makes sense to everybody listening.
It does.
First one is the first Winter Olympics.
Okay.
The second one is the first Australian Open, and that's tennis.
Okay.
The third is the first U.S. Open. That's golf.
Okay.
The final is the first American Professional Football Association game, which later on became the NFL.
We pause while we bring you these messages.
Let's go out to the lobby. Let's go out to the lobby.
It's one of those times when I really needed to have a lead going into this question. Okay. Through the magic of editing, I'm back, and I've got the best answers I'm going to give, but they're not very good. I'm going to go with U.S. Open Golf as the first one. I don't know much about golf, but I feel like they've been playing it forever. My second one would be the first NFL game. I know they were playing at least in the 30s. I'm going to say that that was number two. And I believe the first Winter Olympics was like in the mid to late 50s, early 60s. So I'm going to say that's three. And I'm going to say Australian Open tennis would be last. So I'm saying U.S. Open, NFL first game, Winter Olympics, and Australian Open for tennis. That's okay. My order.
All right. So the first of the first events to happen was in 1895, and that was the U.S. Open golf.
Yeah, okay, good, good.
The second to happen was in 1905, and that was the Australian Open tennis.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Really, really. It was, it was not one of the majors at that point in time, but that was when the first Australian Open happened. Because majors came into play much later on.
I had no idea they'd been playing tennis tournaments in Australia for that long.
I know. Would you imagine being on that boat trip? So,
oh my God.
In 1920 was the very first American Professional Football Association game. And then finally, in 1924 was the first Winter Olympics.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. I was way off in my dates. I'm way off in my answer, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know that I had less points than Chris going in. My only hope now is that he bet more than I did. And knowing him, who never bets, probably not, but we'll see.
I bet. Thank you very much.
Okay, so your question about the human body. I'm going to give you the name of four bones, and I want you to give me the more popular name for them, or the more common name.
All right. That sounds good, Jonathan. Bring it.
So your bones are... Do you want to do them one at a time, or do you want to write them all down?
Honestly, I think one at a time, just so people can laugh at me when I'm getting it wrong.
Oh, okay. So, the first bone is the clavicle.
That's the hip bone.
That's your answer?
Yes.
All right. The second bone is the scapula.
Funny thing is I'm going through, like, songs that I know that have body parts in it that's, like, I mean, and that's what I'm kind of trying to go through a little bit. Whew. I want to say that's the butt bone.
Okay.
All right.
The third bone is the humerus.
The funny bone?
Okay.
This has got to be funny for everybody listening to this right now.
And the fourth bone is the patella.
I'm going to say it's the shin bone.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, just tell me how wrong I am here.
Yeah, you're pretty wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so the clavicle is the collarbone.
Oh!
Yeah, you were on the lower body for some reason.
Yes.
The scapula is the shoulder blade. It's the flat bone across your back there.
Yeah, okay.
The humerus was correct, the funny bone. The fourth one, the patella, is your kneecap. Patella. Oh. So the patella tendon is down
okay,
there.
Okay, so I was close, but just...
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
All right, so we both missed our chances there. Now it comes down to what we bet, and you're popping your paper.
Nada. Zip.
I told you didn't bet anything. I knew you didn't bet anything.
It was human body, and I know nothing about the human body. I don't even know anything about my own human body.
My God. Unfortunately, I bet 15 because I needed to bet at least enough to catch you in your 14-point lead, which now the dancing ensues because Mr. Hollister wins 74-45.
Don't stop the boogie. Don't stop the boogie. Anyway, all I'm saying is this is two in a row for me, which has never happened. You've had your two in a row, not once, but twice. This guy, two thumbs in this guy, is now finally a two in a row winner.
You feel good about yourself?
Until next game, absolutely. Next week, this will be a whole completely different feeling of shame spiraling.
Oh, we'll see. Maybe you'll win again. Don't knock yourself until you actually lose.
Knock myself out.
All right, so that's the end of the game. Do you want to send us out of here?
You said to me earlier that you had a few announcements. You want to talk about that?
Oh,
some exciting stuff going on here at Trivial Warfare.
Yeah, tell me about it. So we've come a long way in the first seven episodes, right? For those of you who haven't found out yet, we have a website. Very simply, it is www.trivialwarfare.com. You can find us all over the place. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. If you just do a Google search, we're going to come up all kinds of different ways on Google. We're on YouTube. If you don't like podcasts and you want to check it out on YouTube, you can find us there.
I don't think you said iTunes, though.
iTunes. I did say iTunes. I said that first.
I don't think he said iTunes, kids. He said Stitcher, and he said all the other podcasts.
You can find us everywhere. You can also, Chris will tell you where to email to. Just wanted to get the word out. If you've enjoyed what we're doing here, we really want to encourage you to share, right?
Absolutely. And also write a review on iTunes. Reviews on iTunes are huge and can help us out a lot, because a lot of people look at it and they look for those stars. And if they see one or two stars all the time, then they're not going to take their time and pay attention to it. If you like us, 5-star us and tell people why.
Or if they see no stars, then they ignore you too.
That's exactly right. Or the zero reviews are always brutal. But also, guys, we want to hear your input on our Facebook site, Trivial Warfare, also Twitter.
At Trivial Warfare.
We want you guys to be interactive with us. Let us know what you think. Let us know what kind of categories you're interested in. And also, if you have any questions that you want to throw at us, please email Jonathan, and he'll be able to put those into the show and potentially make me feel stupid. Anyway, but until next week, thank you so much. I'm Chris. That's Jonathan. This is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war.
Bye, guys. Man, I thought... When you said Istanbul, I was like, well, crap.
Do you use this blanket?
All the time.
Probably shouldn't fart on it, then.
I'd appreciate it if you didn't.
Has it stopped you from farting on all of my furniture?
Do you use this air? Probably shouldn't fart in it, then.
That's good. That's really good. Because I'm leaning. No?
Wow.
All right. Our dad, you're funny.
Okay.
Looking.